This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Apple Cider Day. The early word is, of course, the email you get if you subscribe to the Daily Memphian, and it always often tells you what day it is, Jeffrey. Although, normally, if you just go, you got a choice. You got a choice. Today could be any number of days, but it is, among other things, I'll just say, Apple Cider Day. And so I would ask you, can you recall the last time you had apple cider, and is it better, cold or hot?
I cannot recall the last time I've had it. In general, I think it's better when it's hot.
You like your hot mulled cider more than your refreshing glass of cold cider.
Yeah, I can't.
You don't really
recall.
Like cider.
It's fine. Not, yeah, it's. I mean, like if someone offers it, I'm not like gross.
You don't see a lot of cider,
but it's not something like I'm actively seeking out.
It's also isn't cider country. That's sort of true. More New England,
yes.
Right? Or Washington State or something where they do apples. I think the idea of hot cider appeals to more people. Like that has a certain holiday,
sure.
You know. But I think I prefer a glass of cold cider. Anyway, we won't make that a Jeff Calkins show, Paul. We have a million things to get to today on the radio program. We will do the fight song roundup in the next segment where we will honor those football teams that deserve to be honored and we'll blow some unfortunate football team up. We'll also be joined by Chris Harrington. Straight up at 10 o'clock. But we got a whole weekend of sports to get to, and it was jam-packed, even just from a Memphis perspective. I did want to begin, though, by expressing condolences to friends and family of Terry Tippett, the legendary, and I don't think that's too strong a word, legendary high school basketball coach who won state titles. At three different schools, won more than 900 games, 902 wins, second only to Jerry Peters, of course, from MUS, for those titles at White Station, where it was a remarkable run that he had, coaching Robert O'Kelly and Dane Bradshaw and Ernest Shelton, and wearing that trademark green jacket that he wore, also coached at Tresvant, moved on to ECS after White Station, where he won another state title. And so there you go. Grew up, went to Overton High School, began coaching at Collierville, then Dyer County, then Tresvant, et cetera. He is the Memphis of a whole bunch of Halls of Fame, Terry Tippett. TSSAA, Memphis Sports and Basketball, Memphis Sports Hall of Fame, Basketball Coaches Association, Tennessee Hall of Fame, all of that. And just a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. I did, thinking of it and the impact that he had, we see coaches in college and the pros, larger than life figures making gazillions of dollars. Jimmy Sexton, you know, goosing the salaries. And you know what else you see? You see a lot of complaining about it.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of complaining about it as they're making literally $6, $7, $8, $10 million a year. Ryan Silverfield just got a bigger pay raise for every year of his contract, $100,000 right. a year, than I suspect Terry Tippett ever made.
Probably so. I would think so in like a year.
Yeah,
that's probably right.
And you don't hear any complaining. Like, you do wonder if the era of high school coaches who can coach that long, coach successfully, pour themselves into their students, they're teaching in addition to coaching. You wonder how it does it still exist? Can it still exist at that level? Obviously, in basketball and football, we see a version of the same, you know, portal stuff that we see in college and pro now. So I suspect it's not nearly as satisfying. I had lunch with Terry a few years ago where he was concerned about this very thing. But a great man, legendary coach, and a great Memphian who just grew up in this community and spent his life pouring himself into students and athletes in this community. So condolences to his family and to all those who loved him. And there were many. It's funny because coming off that Bills win yesterday, I am keenly aware of how joyful and agonizing sports can be. I am reminded again of that. And so as in my happiness over the Bills win, I'm thinking of our Tennessee fan brethren, Jeffrey, because it just stinks to lose and it can ruin your whole week. It just stinks to lose and it can ruin your whole week. Don't you like how are Tennessee fans feeling right now?
I suppose you have to ask them tomorrow when they see the playoff
They're
rankings
gonna be left out tonight.
Because if our suspicion is correct, then you're just even more so.
You're just going to be right there, man. We'll get to Tennessee in a moment, but it's just tough, man. It's agonizing. And for the Bills,
especially for the people also that had plus 10.
Especially also for the people who had plus 10. But let's start in Memphis.
Okay.
I think from a purely Memphis perspective, Grizz, Tigers, you'd take the weekend, wouldn't you?
3-0. I guess you have to
take Tigers, out Friday. Grizzlies lost a game.
Friday. But we're only counting Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, no. I'm counting the whole weekend. Since we went off the air, I would take this. I mean, the truth of the matter, you absolutely expected the Memphis Tiger basketball team to win. You absolutely expected the Memphis football team to win. I don't know that I expected the Grizzlies to get a win. I would have taken it Friday. Now, I didn't know that Jokic wasn't
correct.
Going to be playing.
I think when you saw who was going to be available for the Nuggets yesterday,
then you knew they were. Then it would have been a crushing. But given everything, I'll take the weekend. And let's go through them. Memphis Tiger basketball team, 94-70, beating Ohio.
Second half team.
They led by five at the half. I think it was five at the half. But the revelation was the three-point shooting. 13 of 18, Jeffrey. That is a tidy 72.2%. And that is, in fact, the best ever in the history of the school. Now, does that mean they are a effective three-point shooting team? That is something they can count on game in, game out? Of course not. Absolutely does not mean that. But
it shows that it's in there.
It shows that they don't have to always be woeful at it.
Yeah.
Right? There is improvement. Penny expressed, I'll say this. Now, he does often express confidence. What he says about this is, he always says the same thing. He says, we practice shooting more than anyone in the country. What we do in practice is we shoot. I don't understand it when they don't make shots in the games. I don't understand because we shoot literally more than anyone in the country. That's what Penny will say. And but here they are, 3-point shooting, 13 of 18, 72.2%. 3-point shooting was excellent, and what they can count on is PJ Haggerty.
Yes.
And this time he was making threes too. He ends up with 23 and 7. Tyrese Hunter, like, we even after the North Carolina game, we said, oh, they're going to have good guard play.
Yep.
And I just think, like, he's not, he doesn't control the game the way that Kendrick did, just like total control of the game. But that's the kind of thing we're starting to see here. Like a guy who you can count on every night to be your leader, to put up big points one way or another, right? Gets to the line, gets to the rim. Against Ohio, it was three-point shooting in addition. And then you also look around the conference. Did you see UAB?
Oh, boy.
UAB previously losing to Vermont, where they drink apple cider.
Yes.
Now losing to High Point, where I don't think apple cider is big.
No,
and,
it's not.
And that's a bad loss. It's a UAB team that was picked to win the conference, Jeffrey.
Indeed.
And two just horrific losses at this point.
That's undefeated High Point to you, though.
That is undefeated High Point. And so Memphis is looking, I'll put it this way, Memphis is looking as good or better than I expected.
Yep.
Right? Particularly early, like it seems to be fitting. That's the other thing. It seems to be fitting. These pieces seem to be fitting with each other. Now we're going to learn more very shortly as they play San Francisco and then they go and they play UConn. But Memphis looks as good or better than I would have expected. And the conference looks as bad or worse than I would have expected.
Yeah, I think both those are fair.
So there you go. So W for the basketball Tigers. Football Tigers. Jeffrey, we had a moment of sheer brilliance Friday. You had a moment of sheer brilliance Friday. You had given your card. It felt like you had a good weekend. Did you have a good weekend?
I was right at 500.
I
had a good Saturday.
You had finished your card, and then I asked you what to do with this Memphis UAB game.
Yep.
And you said, Memphis doesn't cover. And then as we discussed it,
senior night.
If they were ever going to cover,
yeah,
this was the game when they were going to cover.
And they didn't disappoint.
Add it to the card.
28 fourth quarter points. That's championship mentality.
Did not disappoint as they absolutely, those bones aren't going anywhere.
Absolutely not.
The bones are staying right here. 53-18 over UAB. Ninth win of the season for Ryan Silverfield. Now extended through 2029, gets the extra year, gets $100,000 for every year going forward. They are number 24 in the coach news poll. They even got some votes in the AP poll. They got 38 votes in the AP poll. They would be 27th if you extended it past the top 25. And listen, it is absolutely true that this year is disappointing. It is disappointing because the goal was clear. The goal, the dream, was to get into the playoff. The bar, the reasonable hope and expectation was to win your first conference championship. And the pass-fail bar for this team was to get to the conference championship game. They failed. And I by the way, if they'd won the conference championship last year or the year before or the year before or the year before, it wouldn't, this is all cumulative. This wouldn't necessarily have been a pass-fail bar to get to the conference championship game. But given the broader context, given Seth's return, that was the pass-fail bar. And they failed. That is true, and it is also true that, like, it's funny. You look around right now at the teams that the conference is woeful. You've got three coaches that have been fired already in the conference, right?
Yep.
Because we got Temple over the weekend, Stan Drayton fired after a win, and then we got Rice and we got East Carolina. But it is not, you cannot take for granted. I just want to stop and give them a little credit here. You cannot take for granted that you're just going to be better than everybody else in the conference except for one or two teams. Like, not at Memphis. Now, things have changed at Memphis. This year, you have more NIL than everybody else. And Memphis is different than it was when it was under Larry Porter and Rip, et cetera. But I remember, and I covered lots of years where they were not just in the mix with all these other mediocrities, where they were as bad or worse than. And they have clearly elevated themselves, and maybe some of that's just a product of the program, but you do, in the end, have to go win the games. They have won nine games. And short of, yes, the goal, all of that, I'm not cutting them any slack here on that, is to get to the conference championship game and compete for championships. It's still a hell of a lot better to go to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, whatever the hell it's called, and win rather than lose. And that's all they do there. Like, you go and you're going to have a good time. They won, and this particular game, you got everything you wanted. On the defensive side, they were plus four in turnovers. They two picks, two fumbles. Seth throws for almost 300 yards in his final home game as a Memphis Tiger. His 100th touchdown of his career, 100th touchdown pass of his career. Mario Anderson goes over 1,000 yards. Kobe Drake gets up after getting blasted on that punt. That in itself was a miracle. And so in a season that was not just disappointing, that was a failure, it was a nice way for them to wind up and to celebrate their ninth win on senior night. 35 seniors celebrated there, and onward we go. It's incredibly deflating that they're going to go to Tulane without any chance to get into the conference championship game. As Tulane plays for their third consecutive. And by the way, new coach, new quarterback.
Yep.
You had continuity. Brand new coach, brand new quarterback, and they're already better than you. Not only that, they seem like they're better than everybody. 35 to zip. Someone did text me and say, listen, is it possible? You know, look at what SMU's doing. This is a stretch for me. They said, look at what SMU's doing in the ACC. Look what Tulane's doing. Is it possible that this conference is better than we get a credit for? And see, the answer to that is no, it's not. Three teams have fired their coach before the season's over. That's how bad it is. And Tulane just had a coach leave and then replaced him with another coach, picks right up and rolls. And by the way, Tulane lost to a bad Oklahoma team and then lost to K-State.
Yep.
So they leave conference. They look right now, they're a juggernaut. They roll over Navy. A 35 zip this past weekend, and you'd have to say they're the favorite, Jeffy, don't you think?
Not just to
beat Memphis, not just to win the conference championship, to win the conference championship over an Army team that's basically played a cake schedule. The conference is absolutely dreadful, and it is a incredible disappointment that you're not competing. And if you go and get your head handed to by Tulane, this game matters for appearances.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you get to somewhat play spoiler. Probably leaves you. It would at least give you the opportunity to have another game post Florida State that you sit there and you go, that was a good win.
That was a good win. Yes, it would be nice to be able to point to a good win amidst all of your wins. Tim Buckley wrote a column about Seth over at the Daily Memphian, which I'd urge you to read. And I was glad he wrote it because I think it's appropriate that Seth gets some plaudits for what he has done for the program, for hanging in. The one thing that I wish he had included in the column, he never wrestled with the fact that he hadn't won or gotten to a conference championship game. Like, you do have to, as you talk about Seth Hennigan, and it's not, I'm not putting it on Seth Hennigan necessarily, but you do have to acknowledge to the extent, and I think as I said one is, it's, you shouldn't discount, it's wrong to discount Seth Hennigan. And I think it is absolutely wrong to disparage or to do anything other than to celebrate Seth Hennigan, his accomplishment, his loyalty, all of that. I do think you have to wrestle with the fact, and there's a reason why in our poll he was last week in terms of the greatest quarterback of this post-Larry Porter era. There's a reason he finished fourth, and it's because in the end, didn't deliver a trip to a conference championship game. And again, that's not necessarily on him. It is on Ryan Silverfield. That's just true.
Yes. I think it's more of a reflection of Ryan than it is
100%.
Seth. But yes, I agree with you.
Good enough to go to a conference championship.
Seth is the quarterback.
Game. And that's how they get measured. Yes. Look at Josh, you know, look at whatever. Look
100%.
That's how they get measured. Is saying he's not a very good quarterback. They're just comparing him to other quarterbacks who did deliver at that level, more meaningful wins, and so therefore, relative to those, no one's putting him behind, give me a Billy Barefield. No one's putting him behind Billy Barefield. They're just saying behind these other greats, he's the fourth on this list because of what he's delivered. But it was fun to see them have the going away party that they deserve to have, and I'm glad they feel, it's one of those that makes you feel good about yourself as you head on out. And now, of course, they got this massive game against Tulane. As far as the Grizzlies, they split over the weekend, and as you like to point out, the 3-point shooting, Jeffrey, that just tells the tale. Against the Warriors, 7 of 42.
Yeah,
that's remarkable.
Not
thank
going that
God,
game very often.
Thank God, Deadeye Zach Edey was hitting them.
Yeah, it's true.
He was 2 for 2 from three. Without him, they were 5 of 40 from three. Even that, 16.7% from three, is the Chris Harrington tweeted this out, worst in Grizz history with 35 or more attempts.
But it's elite shot taking.
And so then you have this really interesting thing with the Grizzlies, and we'll talk about it more with Chris, is what do you do with the lineups now, Jeffrey? So Wells is still starting. You've got Bane back. You've got Vince back. Marcus Smart was out with an illness yesterday. But what do you do? Friday, it was kind of amazing. You had Smart and Bain and Vince all coming off the bench as he continued to start. He started Jaren and then Santi and then Pippen, Brandon Clark, and Wells. So Santi was basically starting in the and then yesterday it was Jackson and Bain. Bain was Bain in the Santi slot, right?
Yeah.
So it was Jackson and Pippen at point, and Brandon Clark, right? Jackson and Brandon Clark starting up front, Pippen at point, and then your wings were Bane and Wells. That feels like, and then when Jock comes back, he'll start obviously over Pippen. So then Pippen will be. So does how long?
Well, then
does,
the question is Jay,
when does when does Wells stay? Well, Edie, it feels like, is now definitely coming off the bench.
Yes, but then there's also the question of the so he rolled his ankle twice last night. So how long is he going to be out? Yes,
but
it does seem like
what's interesting is you've got if Wells remains in the starting lineup as he did for both of these two games, you've got Vince and you've got Smart coming off the bench. I don't believe that will be forever.
I agree.
But it is interesting because although Vince immediately has started filling up the box score again, he hasn't shot well. And so if you want shooting in the starting lineup until he, and I'm not saying he's, whatever, it'll come presumably with Vince. We'll see. One of the questions with him is was last year real? What sort of shooter is he going to be? And that's, of course, also Luke coming off the bench.
Yeah.
This is the proverbial good problem to have. But there you go. So the Grizzlies split and they play the Nuggets again. I am totally content to see the Nuggets without Jokic.
Yes, absolutely.
Aren't you? We agree that whatever personal matter is bedeviling him.
Take your time.
You gotta get your medals.
Absolutely.
You gotta make sure you got your medals. We're thinking about the whole person here. All right. Tell you what, we're gonna take a break. We'll come back and do the fight song roundup, and that's when we'll talk about Tennessee, Georgia, and everything else that transpired. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a very busy Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the holiday season is upon us, and if you want to do something thoughtful for someone this holiday season, get them something framed over at the Frame Corner. You can walk in and buy a beautiful frame, put it under the tree, or put in a stocking, and that's great. But if you have something that could be custom framed, some sports memorabilia, a jersey, tickets, program, or a piece of art, beautiful photos, that's what they specialize in at the Frame Corner. Magnificent at their job. It's 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Let's do the fight song roundup. Yeah, this is part of my my new Monday morning perspective of don't take nine wins for granted for the University of Memphis. Finished up a disappointing season at some level, but got the win they needed, and in a fun way. Among other things, you had a Kobe Cox, the long snapper, catching a two-point conversion and striking the Heisman post. People were having fun.
Yes.
And I do think in the end, Memphis is not a program that's going to win the national title. If you win nine games and lose two, you send your fans home happy. Fans home happy nine times, unhappy twice. And so,
perfect home season, right?
We haven't played this song a lot. Florida State, we did. We played it again. I doubt it, because they haven't had wins. That is the problem. That's the fundamental problem. They can't have wins that are meaningful, except for a couple times a year. And then if they lose those games, then you're just like, what the hell was teams, you know. And so they are trapped by their conference. But nine wins, that's nine little bursts of happiness, and we get to play the fight song. 53-18 over UAB. Next. All right, we briefly mentioned this earlier, Jeffrey, but Georgia wins, 31-17. Got off to a nice start for the Vols, right? 10-0?
Absolutely.
At Georgia, you're thinking, okay, baby, okay. And
Georgia
does
turned
not
the water
go
off
well
in the
after
half.
That. Scoreless second half for Tennessee, and Georgia was terrific. A 92-yard drive, an 87-yard drive, and Carson Beck, who has had a very iffy year, not the year that he expected. 25 of 40, 347 yards, two touchdowns. It did help that vaunted Tennessee front, Jeffrey, was not able to give him any of the trouble that the Ole Miss front was able to give him. Not a single sack of Carson Beck. And so, Vols did some things, like Sampson at 101 yards again. I didn't actually think Nico, he was under siege. I didn't think he was bad.
No, it's just in the second half, you could tell the game plan for Georgia was we're gonna give them the deep shots, make them hit it, and they couldn't hit them.
Couldn't do it. Well, they've
and I thought they struggled with their offensive line. I don't think Nico's receivers helped them out either.
No, they struggled with their offensive line, they struggled with their receivers,
yeah.
Both, right? I mean, and here's the truth. And so now we get to this. And tonight we'll find out about the rankings. You got the situation where I will be surprised if Tennessee is not left out. Tonight, anyway.
Tomorrow,
who's going to be in? Alabama's going to be in. Georgia's going to be in.
Texas will be in.
Texas will be in. And Ole Miss will be in.
Yes, and then you
and,
have
and
this.
Let me, but here's the thing. In fairness right now, if Tennessee played those four teams on a neutral field, wouldn't all four be favored to beat them?
Yes. Yes.
And again, it's you can say, well, Tennessee beat Alabama, and they did. Why is Alabama in? They got the same number of losses. Well, that's because Alabama has beaten Georgia, LSU. I mean, if you can't do head-to-heads because everyone's beaten everyone, right? There's no way to logically base this on head-to-heads. Because you got like, well, whatever. So Ole Miss has beaten Georgia, but Georgia has beaten Texas.
And Georgia has the hardest schedule in the conference.
I mean, Georgia, it's not even. Georgia has beaten Texas, Clemson, and Tennessee. Lost to Alabama and Ole Miss.
Both on the road.
That's the best resume. It's much better than Texas's resume, which is lost to Georgia, and there's no offsetting win.
Correct. And that's why I think Texas is in trouble if they don't win next week against A&M. Yeah,
we'll get to that in a minute. But I just don't see how, you know, and some people would. Why is Ole Miss behind Alabama?
Well, you lost to Kentucky.
And it's because you lost to Kentucky.
And LSU.
Because you lost to Kentucky and LSU. Yeah. Alabama has beaten Georgia. Yeah. Alabama's beaten Georgia, LSU, and then pretty good wins over South Carolina and Missouri with losses to Tennessee and Vandy. You just have to, at this point, you have to look at the resume.
Well, I mean, what's helping Ole Miss right now is that South Carolina win gets better and better. And they absolutely throttled them on the road.
So, let me ask you this. How does Tennessee get in? I think the obvious way is Ohio State beats the hell out of Indiana.
I think you need that. And then I really think you need Florida to beat Ole Miss on Saturday.
You don't think there's any way for Tennessee, unless one of these other SEC teams ahead of them stumbles, you don't think there's a way for them to get in? That's what I'm trying to say. If there's no stumbling on the part of the four that we think are going to be ahead of Tennessee now, is there any way to get in? And the one way would be SEC gets five.
Correct.
Because Ohio State beats Indiana by a million. How about
Maybe USC beats Notre Dame?
I think you kind of need
Notre Dame out of there.
That would certainly do it. But you only need one of these things, though. You don't need all of these things, do you? You don't need Ohio State to beat the hell out of Indiana and Notre Dame to lose to USC.
I think it'd be helpful.
It certainly would be helpful.
Because then you still have this weird A&M dynamic of...
Well, that's the other question. So A&M, the other question is could you get rid of Texas if A&M beats Texas? And the answer is yes. I think you could then get rid of Texas, because what does Texas then have? Then Texas has losses to Georgia and A&M, and all they got is a win over Vandy? I honestly think they should be out at that point. But then the question is does Texas A&M get
Texas
elevated?
Texas A&M in that scenario would be in the SEC championship game. And are they really going to penalize the team for making the SEC championship game?
And if they beat Texas, they'll have a win over Texas, a win over LSU, win over Missouri, losses to Notre Dame, that's not bad, and South Carolina, that's not bad. Texas A&M would be in over Tennessee at that point.
I think so.
So I don't think that game creates the opportunity. I think the opportunities are Florida over Ole Miss.
Indiana.
USC over Notre Dame.
And Ohio State.
And Indiana getting blasted by Ohio State.
Correct.
Who do you think the best SEC team is? And Texas, by the way, won over the weekend, but not...
Yeah, no, they were not that impressive. I think Georgia's best is probably the best. And then after that, I think Milroe gives you the most, like, Milroe in a one-game scenario presents a problem that nobody else does. I've listened to an argument that Ole Miss's best is as good as Georgia's best.
But here's the truth. Like, while I do think Tennessee fans will have reason to gripe if they're left out. The truth of the matter is, if you're being honest with yourself,
it's the Arkansas game.
You're not as good as those other teams ahead of you. Now, you beat Alabama, right? You did beat Alabama. I say, what do you mean not as good? But your resume is not as good. And if you look at how impressive the team has looked.
I think that's a big problem that Tennessee's fighting is they are not passing the eye test, even though I think they're a good football team.
They are a good football team.
But it's like the problem with the eye test is
they'll be better than any Big 12 team that's in. They'll be better than any ACC team they'd be in. Yeah. They'll be better than the Group of Five team that's in.
Yeah. The problem is eye test, though, is like they've been clunky on offense.
All right, what's next? This is the first time we played this one this year?
First time in a long time we played this one.
In a long time. But the aforementioned Florida Gators almost going to have their hands full, maybe. 27-16. Seven sacks, Jeffrey, over LSU. Just absolutely terrorized Nussmeier. And Billy Napier, who many of you had for dead. Okay, maybe I did too. Billy Napier beat Ole Miss and Florida State. Go to a bowl game. From the hot seat to a bowl game, Jeffrey.
I think if he just beats Florida State, he's going to a bowl game.
Bowl game, right. Or, I said or. Either or, yeah.
If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I'm actually kind of okay with what happened because I think Florida poured their guts into winning this game.
You think it'd be a little bit of a hangover now?
I think that's very much on the table.
DJ Lagway, obviously, back makes a huge difference.
Makes a huge difference, but you could tell he was nowhere like remotely close to mobile. Now, what they did do is they hit big plays in this game. They hit big shots.
It's an interesting phenomenon because you've had a bunch of coaches play themselves off the hot seat. Dave Aranda also. Baylor beats West Virginia over the weekend, mm-hmm. and then the news comes out that he will absolutely return. And we'd already known that Billy Napier would return. So Florida wins. And on the flip side, does LSU have a coaching problem?
I just don't think it matters, like whether or not they do. Like they're just kind of
doesn't matter.
They're stuck.
It is an interesting question, though. So he leaves Notre Dame to go to LSU.
Yes.
Right now, if you were offered both jobs, which would you take?
I still think I'd rather have the LSU job.
It's an interesting question, though, because you're in the SEC, which is murderous.
Yes, but you
for the I last think you 5 years
sure
they have
can
lost
win
four
a national
games.
Title from LSU. We've seen multiple people do it. I'm not sure in this environment Notre Dame can get, like, top end win a national title.
So you can easier path to make the playoff.
Correct.
Maybe not even easier, but maybe easier path to make the playoff, but you can't get the talent that's going to be
correct.
Required to win the title. LSU, for the last five seasons, again, has lost four games. So it's been a disappointing run for LSU. All right, next. I didn't know who to play here, Jeffrey. This is the Arizona State fight song. Have we played it before?
We had it in the system.
They beat K-State. Jump out to a 24-zip lead. Sam Levitt, the redshirt freshman quarterback, really good. And, of course, Kenny Dillingham is presiding over this reclamation project. It's so funny to see Herm Edwards
on
TV,
tell, yeah.
knowing what a disaster he was.
Antonio Pierce.
Just a disaster. Like, at some point, don't you lose credibility as a commentator if you are really bad at your job?
Not if you go do it in the college football world. You know what I mean?
God. I mean, I was just listening to him talk about the Bills game yesterday. First of all, he's not very good. He just says obvious stuff.
Yeah. You're not getting big
and
insights.
He left Arizona State a complete disaster, a mess. And Dillingham has cleaned it up. And now you've got a situation where, obviously, Kansas beats BYU.
Yes.
Leipold, by the way, they were 1-5. They've won three straight, including two top 25 wins in a row here.
And they could spoil Colorado's season next week.
And now they can ruin Colorado's season. So we could have played Colorado. And maybe we should have played Colorado. Colorado beats Utah 49-24. Travis Hunter is your Heisman Trophy
yes.
winner.
He's the best player in college football.
Five catches, 50 yards, also a rushing touchdown, also a pick, after which he strikes the Heisman pose. Maybe even more appropriate and deserved than Colby Cox's Heisman pose that he struck at the Memphis game. But So you've got Arizona State is now in the mix. Do you believe that? Well, it's pretty clear Big 12 doesn't really matter now. Big 12 is going to get one.
I think right? So. That's
to the ACC is going to get one.
Yep.
And the Group of Five is going to get one. Is there much of a chance that Boise, you know, a little bit of a struggle on their own for a bit over the weekend, that Boise could get the bye?
I think it's very much out there. I also think it depends on who ends up winning. I think it depends on who ends up winning the Big 12. Yes.
If Arizona State wins the Big 12.
Correct.
Then they could.
Yes.
Even then, I doubt they do. Ashton Gentry, by the way, is superb once again for Boise State as they beat San Jose State 42-21, 32 rushes, 159 yards. Every single game, he has had at least 125 yards in all 10. He's now got 1,893 yards. Boise advances. They clinched their berth in the conference title game against either Colorado State or UNLV. Turns out there's been some pretty good coaches, assistant coaches who've come through. You just look up. There's Dan Lanning doing it, right? He had a struggle on his hands this weekend. But
yeah, that was
Dan,
like their eighth straight game or something like that.
Yes, now they get the bye now. Dan Lanning, Kenny Dillingham. Like, there's been a lot of smart coaches come through here lately. All right, who's next? You mentioned it earlier. That South Carolina win for Ole Miss, looking better and better. South Carolina takes care of Missouri in a wild one, Jeffrey. A wild one. Luther Burden scores with 1:15 left to give Missouri the lead. And Lenora Sellers, who has been dramatically better of late, immediately drives him down the field. Rocket Sanders gets the catch and run, 15 yards. And South Carolina takes care of Missouri. Do you believe now in the regime in South Carolina? And it is sort of interesting, as Clemson is.
Sure.
Some of the luster has gone off of Clemson. And you've always wondered whether both of those programs can flourish at the same time.
Right.
Right. What do you think about what's happening in South Carolina? Because this has been a, you know, they're not relevant to the national discussion, but it's been a nice season for them.
I definitely think what they're doing is sustainable, because, like, if you look at it, they're kind of mirroring the formula that was successful for Spurrier, which is they're getting they're two studs up front on the defensive line are just absolute hosses. And then the offense has been kind of a lot of, like, scheming up big plays. And so, like, nothing about what they're doing has been fraudulent or fake. And so Shane also seems to be the guy that the money people like. And to me, like, that's a huge part of this. Like, if we're going to be in this world where NIL is going to be one of the determining factors, you have to have somebody that your money people are motivated by.
All right, before we blow anyone up, does anything else strike you?
We got to get the injury reports underhand. Like, you know, Brady Cook all week, like, yeah, he's not playing. Then all of a sudden, he gives it a go. Like, they have to go to the NFL style. You got to report at practice, participated, limited participant. Like, they need practice reports. And then if you're going to be the number two sport for gambling, like, it has
it
to be.
It is in the end. It is interesting that we'll be gambling that drives this.
Yes.
That drives
this. Because everybody wants the money.
Because everyone wants the money.
Yep.
And so no one wants to tell you who's hurt or not.
Correct.
But they want the money more.
Yes.
I was impressed among the various firings that we've seen this year. One is one of the truly worst teams in the country, Kennesaw State. They fired Brian Bohannon last week, and he showed up during the walkthrough, during their equivalent of the Tiger Walk.
Yeah.
And he greeted every player as they walked in. And that's a classy thing to do, don't you? Do you think that's – I'm impressed. I think it's a classy thing to do. Or do you think it's making yourself still trying to be relevant? I think it's a classy thing to do. show up at the Tiger Walk and hug your players as they head in and wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, because I think it was their last home game too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
senior day, all of that.
I'm with you. I mean, I saw some people saying, like, this is like a threat to the administration. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think it's a threat to the administration.
I think it's thanking the guys. Like, in the end, it's thanking guys for what they did for you.
That's what I think. I'm all for. Okay. So, Wisconsin, by the way, another coaching change. Phil Longo.
As this program knows, I've never been a believer.
And you have never been a believer.
When they made that hire, I had my Luke Fickell doubts.
Oh, the hire itself.
Yes.
So now you at least you applaud him for coming to realize Phil Longo
that maybe the air raid is not the way to win at Wisconsin.
At Wisconsin, right. Yeah. Good at offensive linemen in Wisconsin. Uh-huh. Was there a team that you thought we should blow up?
I mean, to me, it's like it's either celebrate Florida or blow up LSU. But like, so I'm fine celebrating Florida.
We did that by celebrating Florida.
I mean, if we wanted to go off the beaten path, losing to Lafayette, losing to South Alabama, that was disastrous for them. I mean, they're still gonna play for the Sun Belt title. But they actually
was it FIU who lost to Temple as they fired their coach. Like that's a tough one.
That's
right? You lose to a program that's so bad,
correct,
even though you lost them, they're still firing.
Yes.
Their victory won't.
FAU, yeah, sorry.
FAU,
yes.
Yeah. Their victory won't save you.
Correct. And Tom Herman, how you like
Tom
now?
Tom Herman, what the hell happened to Tom Herman, man? Whew. He was on top of the world. Now he'll be on TV somewhere telling us how to do things.
Yes.
I chose this particular fight song just because I thought it would appeal to Memphians to hear this song blowing up. And the way they lost,
I still do not know how this happened.
Like, so I did not see it happen, but here you go. Tie score. Louisville tries on 4th and 10 a Hail Mary, which fails. After which, there's 4 seconds remaining.
Right.
Stanford. And maybe it takes a Stanford brain to be able to figure out how to score within 4 seconds. They get an unsportsmanlike penalty against Louisville and an offsides against Louisville, all of which sets up a 52-yard field goal after you
bombs
tried
away
the Hail Mary and nails it. Stanford wins, Stanford wins, Stanford wins. Did you?
So I only had tabs on this from like they'd cut in and be like, hey, this is what's happening. This is what's happening out in Palo Alto. But like when you go and you box score watch it, the game still doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess
what was the unsportsmanlike call on?
I think it was everybody rushing the field. Like it was like people like on the field.
After the Hail Mary?
Correct.
Failed.
I mean, this game makes no sense. Louisville was 4 for 4 in the red zone, got touchdowns the only thing that makes a little bit of sense is they had 10 penalties for 101 yards.
Well, that's a tough way to lose.
Sorry, 13 penalties for 101 versus 3 penalties for Stanford.
That is a tough way to lose a football game. All right, what are you looking forward to this weekend, Jeffrey? You got obviously the massive Ole Miss game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, hey, Indiana, here's your shot.
Yeah, Matt, that's the biggest game. I'll be Vandy, Tennessee.
I mean, yes, I still think Vandy.
Well, it's funny. I saw someone posting, this is exactly what Vandy wants. They've got a chance to knock Tennessee out of the playoff. And I'm like, no, Tennessee's already out of the playoff. This is not. And as you point out, Vandy.
That's next week, too.
And it's next week. But going forward, Vandy is. Who's Tennessee have?
So Tennessee has UTEP this week. That's
right.
That's UTEP, a nice hangover cure.
And I don't think it does it.
No. No, I mean, like, Tennessee
is counting on help from elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, Kansas, Colorado, it's a, like, Colorado.
That's, no, we've seen Kansas win 2 straight top 25 games in a row. They figured a lot out. But Colorado's legit now, it looks like.
I mean, to me, like, every game that they're playing in this league, they have the best quarterback and the best player. I mean, you have Army, Notre Dame, but I just think Notre Dame's going to do. I think that's going to be the Navy game all over again.
Yeah.
That'll be on the card.
Alabama,
Oklahoma was supposed to be fun.
I'll tell you what was supposed to be fun. Texans Cowboys tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be fun.
Yum.
Instead, we've got that. All right, we got Chris Harrington coming up next. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies weekend. And then we do have a lot more to get to, including the NFL. We haven't talked about the Tyson fight or a lot of other things that unfolded over the weekend. I'll tell you, if you're selling your house, you should call Josh Heisaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Tricky time to be selling your house, it just feels like to me. But if you've got someone who knows how to market.
Listen, can confirm.
You hear Josh Heisaw marketing right here on this radio station. He is aggressive with his marketing. Trudy heard our ads, listed with him. Within 24 hours, she had multiple offers on her house, which is ideal. You want multiple offers because then you can play them off against one another. You don't just have to take the low ball coming in at $20,000 under what your asking price is. That's the kind of result you can get if you hire Josh Heisaw. Again, it's 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. When we come back, Chris Harrington joins the show. It's Jeff Gawkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.